This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٍ لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, firstly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here to talk about how to fall in love with the Quran. And I do understand most of us, we have our recitations of the Quran. We have Qurans at home. We respect them. We keep them in high shelves. We do our utmost best to respect the Quran in every single way we can. But there's a thing that I want you to remember. There's one way which is my attitude towards the Quran, and there's another one which is how the Quran actually looks at me and how the Quran will actually see me in the end. See, what's happening right now, brothers and sisters, and please take a grasp of everything I'm saying. A lot of us have made, especially us who don't understand the Arabic of the Quran, we've made the mission of our lives just to recite the Quran. So yes, recitation of the Quran in Arabic, there's a lot of reward in it, and it's really needed, and it's necessary, and it's something which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and he taught his Sahaba to do as well. And the Quran said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself recited to the Sahaba, the Sahaba recited back to him. And there was a whole process of having what they call the hilaq in the masjid. These are small circles in the masjid mentioned in Sahih Muslim. They used to sit together and they used to recite the Quran, learn the tajweed of the Quran, learn how to recite the Quran. This is now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starting the first madrasa. The first madrasa in Medina Munawwara. Before that in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He had a madrasa in Makkah, then now in Medina Munawwara. We're now freely in Masjid al-Nabawi. He's got people who are now sitting in circles. And he's made certain sahaba teachers of other sahaba, subhanallah. He's got a whole system running of teachers and students of the Quran. And they're reciting to one another. But that's only just the beginning. Most of us have stopped there. Most of us think that, okay, our attachment to the Quran just needs to be about recitation. It's not just about recitation. It's also another whole part of our attitude towards the Quran, which is what? Which is, what about the message of the Quran? What about understanding the Quran? What about even understanding it in the English language, in the Urdu language, in the Bengali language, in any language that you can find a translation of? What about understanding it? And then there's another part of it, which is even greater. Greater than recitation and now knowing the meaning, some meanings of the Quran, which is what? What about my action of the Quran? The Quran told me certain things are halal. Have I actually regarded them as halal? The Quran said, don't do this. Did I stop? The Quran told me, make sure in your family life do this. Make sure in your transactions do this. Make sure you behave like this. Make sure in your family life you do this. Make sure in your household you're like this. Make sure you're like this with your parents, with your children, with people, with your dealings, with your wealth, with politics on a greater level. The Quran has taught us so much. But where am I with all of this? Because what's happening right now is, when I am reciting the Quran, so all these things are taken in consideration. When I recite the Quran, when I practice the Quran, when I get to know the Quran, when I spend time with the Quran, when I practice the halal of the Quran as halal, like it's told me to do something and I do it. And the Quran told me, don't do it and I stay away from it. When I'm doing all of that throughout my life, you know what I'm doing? I am making my own figure of the Quran, which will come to me in the next world. Subhanallah al-Azim. And you're doing exactly that. See, we don't understand it right now. We don't understand it. But every single attitude of mine, my approach, and how I approach the Quran, and all of that I had towards the Quran throughout my life, is creating this figure. And that figure will be as a person on the Day of Judgment. And there's a hadith of Ahmad that says, and this is the thing that I want you to wake up and realize. It's not just me towards the Quran. It's the Quran towards me. I come up on the Day of Judgment, hadith of Ahmad, with a sound chain. A person comes up on the Day of Judgment, yanshaqqu anhu al-qabr, the grave is split, and you come up on the Day of Judgment, and you're on the Day of Judgment. What is this day? This day is the final day. And you see this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about shabun. He says, a young fellow, a young man, shahibun, is his beautiful face. And you look at him, and he says to you, ata'arifuni, do you recognize me? And you say, no, I don't recognize you. He says the second time, ata'arifuni, you recognize me? And we say, no, I don't recognize you. This is from the hadith. And he says, ana sahibuka al-Qur'an, ana Qur'anuk. He says, I am your Qur'an. Meaning what? This is not the Qur'an on your shelves, my brothers and sisters. This is not the Qur'an that we had in this world. This is not even the actual Qur'an. The actual Qur'an, which is Allah's words and so on. This is not that. This is my whole attitude towards the Qur'an. My recitation of the Qur'an. My hasanat. My good rewards that I got from the Qur'an. My whole life of spending in halal towards the halal of the Qur'an. My whole life in staying away from the haram of the Qur'an. This is it. This is the figure. And guess what it says to me? After he introduces himself to me, he says to me, and he says to you, if we've got it right, he says to me and he says to you, he says, wa kullu tajirin wara'a tijarati. That every tradesman, every tradeswoman will finally get what they invested. Wow. This is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, in the hadith. What does that mean? My brothers, my sisters, when we are reciting the Quran, when we're engaging with the Quran, when we are practicing the Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتُلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Those people who are reciting the Quran and they are standing in prayers, يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورُ. They are waiting and hoping for a commerce and a trade and an investment with Allah Azza wa Jal where they will never fail. This commerce and trade will never fail. My brothers, my sisters, everything we are doing in this world, we're not just doing it because we have to just do it, just read something. No, we want to engage in this so that on the Day of Judgment, we become the best people who will reap the benefits and of everything they sowed in this world. Every single reward we did, this Quran is now standing in front of us and it's telling us, he says, you know what? He says, wa anta wara'a tijarati. It says, you're going to be behind your own investments, meaning that you're going to reap the benefits of the investment towards me, the Quran. You're going to find it today. Now, we're on the Day of Judgment. Now, this is a big day. Wow, this is a big day. What does the Quran say? إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُنْفِضُونَ. When we see on the Day of Judgment, we come up, we see this shadow, this shades just in front of us. Everyone sees this. It's like a pole, nusub, like a pillar. Because the Arsh of Allah is in the center. And the Arsh of Allah is giving this one shade. The sun is above it. And the sun has no mercy on this day. It's going to boil brains. It's going to make people sweat like never before. And people see this one shade. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. There's no other shade on that day except for the shade of Allah's throne on that day. And everyone runs. يُسْرِعُونَ. Allah says that everyone's going to run towards that shade. Try to get under that shade. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, He tells us, يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. Allah says, right and left, they're coming towards you, O Prophet, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is under that shade. He's with the other prophets. They have got the best of their ummah coming towards them. Allah's only going to give permission to the best of the best to get all the best people who have done well, who are believers, who have done well and strived in this world. Allah's going to give them a space next to the prophets on the Day of Judgment. And we're all trying to get inside there. And Allah says not everyone's going to get inside there. So inshallah, bi-idhnillah, we'll be lucky enough to try and get there. But who knows? Maybe we might not be able to get there. But this is a desperate day. Very desperate. So desperate. Your mom has deserted you on this day. Your mom. Your dad. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. وأمه وأبيه. The Quran tells us that your own brother deserts you on this day. Your mother and father deserts you on this day. Your wife deserts you on this day. Your children desert you on this day. Fathers desert their children on this day. And this is the day when nobody wants to know about anyone else because it's nafsi, nafsi. I only care about myself until I don't know that I'm going to make it to Jannah. I won't care about anyone else. So now, once we have our account, and after that, we know we're okay, then maybe I might go and look for my mother, my father, or brother, sister, wife, children, whatever. But not before that. No way. None of us will do that. Now, our turn comes. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about maqama rabbi. What's this? This is a station in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. A station where Allah is going to tell every one of us to stand one by one. We stand there naked in front of Allah, in front of all the people we've known in this world, in front of the people in our time, before our time, after our time, the whole the existence of humanity and jinns and so on. Everyone in front of all of them. My hisab and my judgment is going to be done. And Allah is going to call me. The hadith of Muslim says, Laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman. There's not even an interpreter between me and Allah on that day. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks to me direct and says, Ya fulan ibn fulan. Oh so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so. You did this, you did that. Why did you do this? And these are the questions that we have on the Day of Judgment. And subhanAllah, you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? Hadith of Ibn Hibban. Ibn Hibban is a sahih hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, he says, Al-Qur'an shafi'un mushaffa'un mahilun musaddaqun. Allahu Akbar. These words are words to be weighed with gold. What is that? The Prophet ﷺ said, you know that Qur'an that you just saw? The one that saw you with a beautiful face, the one just that told you that I'm your Quran, you know, your whole attitude, that one, it comes to Allah on the Day of Judgment. And he says, oh Allah, because there's no one between you and Allah, no one's going to come to your rescue. No one, no money, nothing, because Allah said, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Allah says, all your links have been cut off. يَوْمَ لَا بَيْعٌ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ. Allah says, you've got no trade here on the Day of Judgment. You can't bring money and gold on this day. Allah says, you've got no friends on this day. You've got no one who will come to your rescue on this day. And only one that comes out of the whole of humanity and jinns, nobody comes. But the Quran says to Allah, oh Allah, I am asking you to make me intercede on behalf of this individual. The Quran says that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses two words. Shafi'un. First, the Quran says, oh Allah, I want to represent this person on the Day of Judgment. Second thing, Allah's messenger says, mushaffa'un. Allah says, okay, I give you permission to represent this person on the Day of Judgment. And the third word the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses is mahilun. The Quran comes now to argue on your behalf. He's your lawyer on this day. The best of lawyers you could ever imagine having. I mean, in this world, you win a case with the best of lawyers. You can get away with a lot of stuff if you've got the best lawyer on your side. I don't know if you guys followed the whole case of O.J. Simpson. You guys know about O.J. Simpson? Some of you, put your hands up if you've heard of O.J. Simpson. Wow, that's a lot of people. 1995 or 96, I don't know, the guy basically, I mean, he's allegedly committed murder. You know what I'm saying? Like, a man had this lawyer, wow. He had his whole team behind him. But this lawyer flipped the whole thing. The thing is supposed to put him on trial for murder and get the guy, you know, behind bars and probably give him the death penalty. And he walks away free. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just giving you the example. Why? Because you get the best of lawyers in this world. Man, you got a good chance. Who's your lawyer on this day? It's your Quran, my friend. Your attitude to the Quran, you think about how many times did I recite it? How many times did I engage with it? How many times did I read it nicely? How many times did I know what it said? How many times did I, what the Quran said? لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. I gave you this Quran for people who understand what it is. لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. For people who use their intellect about the Quran. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ For people who reflect on the Qur'an. لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ For people who draw lessons from the Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Allah says, why don't people ponder over the Qur'an? Do they have locks on it? So this was your attitude to get to know the Qur'an. You try to practice the Qur'an. You try to do your best. And here's the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment. The third word used is mahilun. Which is, it's going to become a representative of you. They say the word mahil means mujadil, which means it's going to argue your case on the Day of Judgment. Sahih hadith in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Quran will either become an argument for you on the Day of Judgment, or it's going to become an argument against you on the Day of Judgment. This is it. And the fourth thing Allah says, Allah's Messenger says in that hadith, Musaddaqun. Whatever your Quran argues, Allah Azza wa Jal will not have an argument against it. Allahu Akbar. Meaning that whatever this Quran says about you, it's going to be truthful. There's going to be nothing that can be argued against. Wow. I mean, you think about it. Your Quran comes. Says, let me intercede. Allah says, okay, I'll give you. Then he says, I'm going to argue. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, it's going to be believed. Believed by who? Believed by Allah himself. So here's Allah questioning you. And your Quran says, my Lord, I object. My Lord, this person. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا Oh my Lord, you said about certain believers who will stand in the night and they will pray in front of you. They will go into sajda and prostration in front of you. And يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرُجُوا رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ They will fear the afterlife and they will have hope in their Lord, which is you. And oh Allah, I am a witness that this person did that. Everything Allah says, everything Allah questions me. Now, this part of what I'm saying to you right now, what actually the Quran says, it's not in the hadith. But the Quran, your Quran, my Quran, will bring examples of the things that we did. Allah will say, oh, so-and-so, why did you do this? And the Quran says, my Lord, I want to remind, you know, the whole thing here that this is my client, obviously, and he's there to represent you. And what does he say? He'll say things like, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ O you who believe, fulfill your contracts and your promises that you made. أَوْفُوا بِالْعُهُودِ The promises you make, don't break them. My Lord, this person never used to break promises. Allahu Akbar. How can Allah argue with a representation of your Quran, which is His word? And the Quran says, oh Allah, this person did this, and this person did this. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Oh Allah, you said that be with your wives and live with them in a way that is conventionally known to be good. A good way, live with them. And this man did that. Oh Allah, this man, look, you know, when his parents were there, you said in the Holy Quran, لَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Don't just be harsh towards your parents. Don't even say oof. And I'm telling you, Allah, this person was gentle towards them. Oh Allah, you said, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ Be with those and remain amongst those people who are truthful. And I'm telling you, Allah, this person tried their best to remain with the truthful people. You said, oh Allah, in the Holy Quran, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ Believers, they call towards good deeds and they tell people to stay away from bad deeds. And I'm telling you, Allah, this person did this. Now the Quran argues and argues and argues until Musaddaq, until Allah says, you are right. Then what happens? Now the Quran, he's won your argument for you. You didn't have to speak much. And then the Quran, according to a hadith of Tirmidhi, turns to Allah and says, Ya Rabbi, hullahu. Because you're standing naked in front of everyone. And the whole Day of Judgment is naked. And the Quran says, Ya Rabbi, hullahu, my Lord, clothe him, clothe her. And Allah Azza wa Jal then gives a crown, tajul karama, a crown of honor that fits on your head. Then the Quran says, Hullahu, zid. The Quran says, more. And Allah then gives you a whole cloak around you, gives you clothes. Hullatul karama, these are clothing of honor. And the Quran says, Zid, oh Allah, give more. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, okay, to you, recite Iqra, recite, and everything you shall recite, you will start to go above in the ranks in Jannah. Hadith of Tirmidhi with a good chain. The Quran, what happens then is the Quran takes you. My friend, the Quran will not leave you. It will take you all the way. The hadith in Ibn Hibban says, if you kept the Quran in front of you in this world, and you said, okay, the Quran tells me not to do it, I'll stay away from it. The Quran tells me to do it, I'll do it. If you kept it in front of you, it will lead you only to Jannah. It will take you literally and will never leave you until you get to Jannah. Once you get to Jannah, you start reciting the Quran as you used to recite it. This is not just for the Huffaz. I know people who memorize the Quran, they've got a separate thing on the Day of Judgment. This is for any believer. You recite the Quran in this world. Your attitude is very good towards trying to uphold what the Quran has told you to do. On the Day of Judgment, when you're in Jannah, Allah says, okay, now recite. And you recite. Every time you recite, it takes you another manzila, another rank in Jannah. And you go higher and higher and higher and higher. And each place in Jannah that is higher is more beautiful than the last place below it. Allahu Akbar. This is the Quran coming to you. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, look, you came on the Day of Judgment, right? The sun is above people's heads on this day. And it's going to be merciless. And a hadith in Sahih Muslim says, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي شفيعا يوم القيامة. Recite the Quran, engage with the Quran. Now, اقرأوا doesn't mean just recite. It means try and, you know, engage. I'm going to get to that in a bit. But engage in the best ways you can with the Quran, like knowing what it's saying and so on and so forth. Anyway, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it will come as an intercede on the Day of Judgment. And then he said what? He said, recite Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. And he said, both these surahs are going to come out. Imagine this. We come on the Day of Judgment. Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, they see us in danger. They see me and you in danger. If you can't get in that shade on the Day of Judgment, you're done. You're done. The sun's right above people's heads. So what do Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran do? They come out and they become clouds. Two clouds for the individual on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. Before that, you were in the grave. And everyone knows how lonely, dark, and scary the grave is going to be. And the Prophet ﷺ told us while he was alive on this earth, I wish my ummah, every person of my ummah will have 30 ayahs in the heart. Surah Mulk, Surah number 67, has 30 ayahs, 30 verses in it. And he told us again and again, recite that every night. Recite Surah Mulk every night. Because what will happen is when you get in your grave, Surah Mulk of the Quran will protect you from any punishment of the grave. Allahu Akbar. Now let's get a hold of this. You die. As soon as you die, you're in the grave. Surah Mulk protects you until you wake up on the Day of Judgment. You wake up, and then this person meets you. Young man says to you, you know, you don't recognize me? And then suddenly Baqarah and Ali Imran come out and they give you shade. And then you summon in front of Allah and then you've got a lawyer. The same Quran comes to you as a lawyer to represent you. And then it tells you, it takes you all the way to Jannah. And in Jannah, you have the best of your future, never to die again, never ever to have another day of misery ever again. This is what we want. But for this to happen, my friends, we have to earn the love of the Quran as well. It's not just us towards the Quran, it's the Quran towards us as well. How is the Quran seeing me right now? When I'm deep down, 6 foot down there in the grave, when I'm lowered down into the grave, when you're lowered down into the grave, and they put soil on top of me, on top of you, 6 foot up there, there's your boys, my friend. They're in the shisha lounges, you know what I'm saying? They've got the girls around them. They're piping. Taste this one. Take that one. They're on those apps, swiping. Left, right, left, right. Yeah, that's what they're doing. You're 6 foot down, they're 6 foot up. They're driving the cars down these roads and ripping the tires because the cars don't belong to them. You know, they hide them. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. Man doesn't rip his own tires, you know what I'm saying? Like, man doesn't rip his own tires. He rips the tires of another guy's tires, you get me? Because he hires, you know, he just wants to show how bad he is. You know what I'm saying? He rips the tires. What are you showing, man? You know, I see half these big cars on the road. Half of them. And alhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum. If Allah's blessed you with a good car, may Allah bless you, say ameen. Those of you who never said ameen, you're jealous. Man up. These cars I see outside, I kind of think half of them are probably on credit. What kind of life is that? You have to buy a big car, spend so much money, which is not yours, you don't even own it. But anyway, my point is this. People above there are doing all sorts of things. What are they doing? Where are we right now? We have time on our hands to spend on so many things. Our minds are wandering around the whole of this internet and these apps that we have, and the smartphone has kept us busy, and we're locked in. Certain people here sitting here right now, you're sucked into an addiction. An addiction you can't get away with. Maybe it's a game you can't get away with. Subhanallah. I mean, just the other day, I came across. So let me tell you one incident first, then tell you the second one. Literally the other day, all right, I'm going to some talk or somewhere, and then this brother sees me and he brings his 8-year-old son to me. He brings his 8-year-old son to me. And he said, go and say salam to Sheikh. Go and say salam. So his 8-year-old comes up to me and he's a bit, and he goes, salamu alaikum. And then the father said, okay, go and ask him something. You know the question the son asks? The first question that comes out of his mouth. First question took me by surprise. He said, Sheikh, how many followers do you have? How many followers do you have? Wow. And this is the young generation. This is young mind. And the father's there. You know what I said? I said, son, listen to me. I said, you can collect as many likes as you want in this world. You can have as many followers as you want in this world. But remember this, on this earth right now, there are people who have many, many followers. And they have so many thousands and hundreds and thousands, maybe the millions of likes. They are so famous on this earth, yet they are unknown in the heavens. They are unknown in the heavens. And there are certain people on this earth, they are not known. They don't have any followers. Barely anyone likes them, follows them. But I said, son, you only need one like, and that's all you need. You need the like of Allah. That's all you need. My friends, tell me this, yeah. I've made a habit not to scroll through these Instagram videos for you page, whatever, and TikTok. And I've got them on my phone, but I've consciously try not to go on them. You know why? They show you such videos, you say, I've got to watch that. I wonder what happens next. And they've worked you out, these algorithms, AI. You are now against a supercomputer that's been made by humans in Silicon Valley. That is like hundreds of computers and thousands of computers together in a split second is going to know which type of videos you're going to like next. And it's going to show you that. Because all it's doing is it shows you video and it watches how many seconds you watch it and you flick to the next one. It knows. If you stay split second more, 3-4 seconds you stayed on this one, that one you stayed like 4-5 seconds, it knows you like that one better than this one, and it's working you out. It knows within seconds, it knows if you're a female or a male straight away. It knows your age range between 20 and 40. It knows that this person likes football, so it's got to be more highly likely it's going to be a boy. It knows this person just watch the handbag a little bit more, so it knows it's a woman. Right? It knows that you stopped and you know, there was this page they gave you of an MMA fight and you just stayed there for a few more seconds. You got to be a male right now. It knows that there's some jewelry and so on shown and you stayed there a few more seconds and that's got to be you, right? On this side, the females, right? It knows this and it's working out. Then it works you out right down to the millions of people like you in the whole of the world who flipped the exact same videos to the exact same seconds, and the thousands of videos they showed after that, it knows which thousands of videos you're going to like. And I'm telling you right now, after you spend just a couple of hours on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, and on all these, you spend that, you know what? It's worked out, especially TikTok. It's worked out juicy videos that you just can't scroll away from. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen there? What's going to be there? Oh, I'm going to see this. I'm going to see that. You know what happens? You've spent, my friend, if you dare, go into your phone and go into the section where you see how long you spend on each of the apps that you've got. And if you actually go in there, you'll see you spend like maybe 55 minutes on WhatsApp. It shows you this. You spend 15 minutes on YouTube videos. You spend like 20 minutes on TikTok. You spend like 45 minutes on Instagram videos. You spend on Facebook flicking it this many minutes and so on. And in the whole of the day, you've been busy with your phone, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours. In a week, you spend 30, 40 hours, 50 hours. You don't even realize it. And then if I ask you the question at the same time, where's your Quran? How much Quran did you read? You know what you say? You know what most people say? I haven't got time for it. That's it. That's it. Now let that be a wake-up call. Because some of us, alhamdulillah, the Quran has told us in Surah Fatir, you know what Quran says? It talks about revelation, then it says this. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There are three categories of people, Allah says, that have their attitude towards the Quran. There's the first category that are oppressing themselves with regards to the Quran. You have no time for the Quran. Okay, that's you. That's category number one. Number two, وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. There are people who are in between. They engage with the Quran sometimes. Sometimes they don't engage with the Quran. Sometimes they're with it, sometimes they're not with it. Muqtasid, they're in between. And the third one, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And there are people who are racing with one another. How better can I make myself with my attitude towards the Quran? And those are the people that will thrive the most on the Day of Judgment. And I want to come back to that story with that child. And I said to that child, you only need one like. Please remember that. And I want to tell all of you as an audience, what does it mean? You had so many followers and so many likes. When we are in the grave on our own, what does likes mean there? Nothing. Where are your followers? Up there. They stopped following you. Your account is probably being closed or taken over by somebody else. What did it mean? Nothing. But my attitude in my life and what Quran said, halal and haram, are living with me right now. La ilaha illallah. There are people, la ilaha illallah, nikah apps that have been created. They've been created for us to find a potential spouse. And people are using these apps. Right now, I've got so many stories. People have phoned me up and told me, Sheikh, this is what's happening. And we know, brothers, and I'm going to, you know, please forgive me, brothers, yeah? Please forgive me here. Just 1 minute, yeah? His turn is coming, you know what I'm saying? Brothers are guilty because they're the ones to take advantage more than sisters. But I'm getting reports of multiple sisters that are taking advantage. Brothers are telling me, I went on to the app. You swipe right, ding, ding. She swipes right, ding, ding. Match, ding, ding. Right, then you start talking. And in that, you know what? One of the first questions that comes up, you want to go out for a coffee? Huh? But sister, you're in a hijab. Yeah, it's just a little coffee, isn't it? Brother's invite, his invitation is to the hotel, sister's invitation to the coffee shop. You know, they're doing this because they're not serious for marriage. And you're using this. Do you understand that the Quran can also do the opposite on the Day of Judgment? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hujjatun laka aw alayka." The Quran can be an argument against you on the Day of Judgment. Imagine I stand there on the Day of Judgment. And I'm saying, I'm trying to answer my questions, the questions Allah gives me. And the Quran comes. La ilaha illallah. And the Quran says, oh Allah, I am here to speak on the Day of Judgment if you give me permission. And Allah says, okay, I give you permission. And the Quran says, this person, he's not a person who I believe should go to Jannah. Imagine the Quran says that because the hujjatun alayka, it can be an argument against you. And if the Quran stands there and says, you said, oh Allah, لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. You said, oh Allah, don't come near zina, near fornication. Don't come near adultery. But this person was going near there. Oh Allah, you gave him signs. You gave her signs, but they never stopped. Oh Allah, you gave them many signs. And you said in the Holy Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Repent to Allah. تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Such a repentance that you say, I'm going to do my best not to do it again. And either the Quran will say, I'm a witness that the person did it, which is in your favor, or the Quran will say, this person never did it, which is against you. La ilaha illallah. My friends, a wake-up call, which is, what's my attitude been towards the Quran? Most people have made the Quran just recitation. And I'm asking you right now, don't fool yourselves, especially our Asian communities. All they talk about is just recitation, recitation. Now, recitation is important. The first thing we should do is we should learn the tajweed of the Quran. Some of you might have learned the Quran when you were young. Some of you forgot it. But are you going to tell me right now you don't have time to learn it? No way. No way. You've got time to learn it. You have got time to learn it. And you've got every single app that is ready out there and every other website that is ready of the Quranic ones, I'm saying, to teach you how to learn to read as an adult. Go to the masjid imam and ask him to make you learn. There are halakas in masjids to learn. If there's no one in the masjid, no one in your area, there are plenty of people online ready to teach you at a small fee across the world. There are people in Egypt that are sitting there. All they're waiting for is for online. They'll teach you through Zoom online. There are people in Pakistan that are waiting. There are people in Bangladesh, all over the world. There are people, teachers, and you can pay the minimum amount. And they will teach you how to read the Quran correctly. All you need to do is make sure that they read properly. You know what I'm saying, like? Because if they mess you up, then you're big time messed up. And there are people who, even in your locality, even, you know, there's some aunties here, they've got nothing better to do. They say, better idara, Quran padho, Quran padho. You know, come over here, they call the grandchildren, they say, come over here, let me teach you how to read the Quran. And they learn like in the 1950s or something. In the middle of Pakistan somewhere, from another auntie that never knew what she was doing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah? So the thing is, I don't blame them. They just didn't know any better. They probably don't know how to read Quran properly. Now, you need to ask yourself, do they know tajweed properly? How will you find out? Well, go to someone who knows and tell them to verify the person who wants to teach you online. Let them listen to them. And if they say it's a good person, learn from them. You can only do this through people who've gone through the system. You can't do it on your own. Don't end up with someone who recites Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Huh? Do. There's no Alhamdu. It's Do. Do. That's how you pronounce it. And it's Alhamdu. Some say Alhamdu, which means La Hawla Wa La Quwwata. It has the opposite meaning. Alhamdu means all praise be to Allah. Alhamd, La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. Alhamdulillah means may Allah burn out, like let him die out. Let the flame burn out like that. Alhamd, right? That's what you're saying about Allah. La ilaha illallah. Learn tajweed properly. Certain people, they haven't got the pronunciation done properly. But you got to read and try and read like the Arabs read. Because the Quran was revealed to the Arabs. And it's their language. And you must go to the experts amongst them to learn. Sometimes people are a bit messed up. I mean, let me give you this story. When I go to Bangladesh, and I've been going for many, many years, I go to Bangladesh, and some of the people over there, they argue with me about my English, as if my English is not correct. You know, is my English okay, guys? Yes or no? Only a few people said yes. What's the word? You want me to speak like Birmingham? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is my English not understandable to you guys? La ilaha illallah. Hey, it's okay, yeah? If you allow me to crack a Birmingham joke, will you allow me to crack a Birmingham joke? Yes or no? Will you forgive me for a yes or no? There won't be a fire after this, yeah? Some guy said, he said, there's a miracle of the Quran. He said, the miracle of the Quran is, even when the Birmingham people are reciting the Quran, the accent goes away. La ilaha illallah. I'm like, wow, that is true. That is true, right? So anyway, let me get back to this other one I was going to say. I go to Bangladesh and they say to me, some of my, you know, pronunciations are not right. The guy says apple. Apple. I go, no, it's not apple, it's apple. He goes, apple. I go, apple. He's telling me I'm wrong. Then he gives me a dalil. He gives me an evidence. He goes, alphabet is A, B, C, D. I go, yeah. So he goes, look, A, the A is beginning of apple. I'm like, wow, man, this guy is like on another level. Like, he needs to learn English from how the English people pronounce it. You need to learn your Quran from how the Arabs pronounce it. And that's when you will recite properly. So number one is get your tajweed right and learn how to recite properly. Number two is this. We all need to do something which most of us have neglected. And honestly, I don't know why we do this. Every time I do this, subhanAllah, I just sit there and I'm in amazement. I was just doing it today. Just today. Today I was doing something new which I didn't do before. I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to give you many more of these examples today. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who's a Sahabi, he says, when you recite the Quran, don't make the end of the surah your target. If you make the end of the surah your target, you're going to be reading fast and trying to like just get to the end and that's it. He says, you will pass by many meadows in the Quran. Enjoy the meadows as you are passing by them in the Quran. What are these meadows? What is he talking about? He's talking about tens and tens and maybe hundreds of stories in the Quran and examples in the Quran and many, many things Allah said and words he selected. And for us to just stop there and wonder, why did Allah say that? A beautiful story, but how does it reflect on me? Right? And I was just thinking today, subhanAllah, like you sit there, you think, wow. Like, I mean, you could just sit there as an adult. You know what? It gets even more beautiful the longer you live and the more experiences you have in this life and you come across these stories and you say, there's something deep in here. Let me give you what I was thinking about today. Surah Tahrim, Surah number 66. It talks about the prophet's wives. And there was a dispute that happened. I'm not going to get into that. But at the end of the surah, it gives two examples. It gives examples of two types of women. Now get a hold of this. Two types of women. Type number one, they were women married to two prophets, Lut alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam's wife was a kafira, she was a disbeliever. Lut alayhi salam's wife was a disbeliever, right? Imra'at Nuh wa imra'at Lut. And it talks about both of them having lived with the prophet, their lives. In the end, Allah says, "Udhula finnar, get into hellfire." He sends both these women into hellfire. That's type number one. Type number two, a woman who was living with an oppressor, the greatest oppressor on this earth. A woman who was living with a dictator, a tyrant, a man who had enslaved an entire nation, a man who killed. At an instance, without a blink of an eye, he would kill. Her name was Asiya. She's married to Fir'aun. The Quran mentions it. Imra'ata Fir'aun. And this woman who's married to Fir'aun, she's got nowhere to go. If she escapes, she's going to be dead. She's married to the worst tyrant. And this woman, she doesn't know what else to do. And then she turns to Allah. Look at her words. She says, رَبِّ بِنِنِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Allah, all I want in the end is, I just want a house next to you in Jannah in the next world. Allahu Akbar. She knows she's got nothing else in this world. But look at these two types of women. One is living, the first type of women, they're living with the best of people on this earth, the prophets. Yet, they just don't believe. And they end up in the fire because of their attitude towards those prophets and the message they brought. And the second one, a woman who's living with the worst tyrant, a kafir, someone who's ended up in hellfire. Her husband is in hellfire, but she's a good woman. And she is in Jannah. And she'll get that house in Jannah where Allah will keep it somewhere very close to his arsh and very close to his throne in the next world. Now, there are meadows of the Quran. And we are traveling through the meadows of the Quran. What does it mean? It means you are coming to stories. And these stories are a reflection of your life, telling you what to do. There are amthal. There are examples in the Quran. Let me give you one. Example of Quran. Wow. The Quran says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The example of those people in this world who are making alliances with one another. They are disbelievers. They're making alliances across the world. They're like, this government will be with that government. And we are allies together and this alliance and that alliance. And together they make a strong force. Allah says their example is what? كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. It's like a spider. اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَ. It's created a web. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. And the most weakest of houses that anyone makes is the house of that spider. The spider's web is the weakest one. Now, this example, let's just go into, because the Quran wants us to do this. You stop there. You read this in Surah Ankabut, Surah of the Spider. You read this verse. It's from the Amthal, the examples. What is Allah telling you? Well, let me tell you what Allah tells us. Allah is saying, look, you see them out there? They're making all these alliances and they've got you in the grip. And like you can't do it. Like when the wind blows very strong, think about this. A strong wind blows. That web stays exactly where it is. Yes or no? Guys, say yes or no. Come on. Unless you guys don't have any spiders in Birmingham. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Look at the spider. And what does the spider do? The spider spins a whole web. And its thing is, it depends on the wind to bring certain flies and other creatures, whatever it is, right? Insects, onto the web. And then the spider is going to come down and make a meal out of them and go back in the middle. And it's going to wait. It's going to wait for anything. Now, when the wind blows, it doesn't break. But we know a twig of a tree, of a branch, just falls onto that web. What's going to happen to that web? It's going to be broken. Soon as it breaks on one corner, the whole of the web is useless. And what does the spider do? What does it do? It now gathers all its web. Yes or no? You still don't have spiders in Birmingham. What's wrong with you guys, man? It gathers everything because it's finished. The whole plan is finished. It was broke by something tangible that touched it. What Allah is telling us is these alliances, I can break them like the spider's web. And they're nothing. You might see it strong, but they're weak. Why? You go to Surah 59. Allah says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think they're all united? No, their hearts are differing with one another. See, the weakness is there. Their plans and the whole alliance will break with one part of the alliance breaking. The entire alliance will break. Just like one part of the web breaks, it's pointless of that spider keeping the entire web. It's going to gather everything together and start to build a new web. And this example, you sit there and you think, wow, what is going on in the world? What is Allah telling you? Subhanallah. And I've got more examples to share with you. I've got many more parts of these meadows to take you through. And I'm going to tell you about this story and that story and this lesson and that lesson in just a very short while. Just before I do that, my brother Hassan is going to come to the front and my brother Faraz is going to speak to you for a few minutes. I want everyone to sit where you are. I'm going to sit also there throughout this whole short session. It's a very short session. Stay where you are. I've got a lot more to add to how to develop our love with the Quran, because we've got to go through some of these meadows to understand what are we losing out. Jazakumullah khair.
As I was saying to you, that we need to learn how to have the proper attitude towards the Quran. The Quran gives us a lot of reward. Yes, it's a source of a lot of reward. In fact, the Quran has got 327,792 letters in the Quran. There are that many letters in the Quran. You recite any letter, you get 10 rewards, according to a hadith of Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, I'm not saying to you that alif lam mim, alif lam mim is just 10. No, he said alif will give you 10 rewards, lam 10 rewards, mim 10 rewards, and so on and so forth. If you read the entire Quran, just recite it from beginning to end, you will get 3.2 million rewards. If you recite the Quran in Ramadan, you will get, because in Ramadan things are times 70, you will get reward of approximately 230 million. Right? Now, these are rewards of reciting the Quran, and people are fixed on that. Okay, I get this much rewards, I'm just going to recite. No, let me stop you there. If me and you understand the Quran, even in translation, even in English translation, Urdu translation, any language translation, if you understand the Quran, you get reward too. How much reward you get, only Allah knows. If me and you understand the Quran and practice the Quran and try and change my life, you try and change your life towards the Quran, there's humongous reward for this. More than the 230 million that I've just said. We don't know how much. Look, we just don't know how much. Don't get fixed on just the letters of the Quran and reciting it, because the Sahaba, what they did is they tried to make their actions match the actions of the Quran. That's the main thing. That's why the Quran was revealed, for me and you to change our lives. How will you feel if you come to Allah on the Day of Judgment and Allah says, look, you spent this many thousands of hours of your life on Instagram, this many thousands on Snapchat, this many thousands on TikTok, YouTube, and so on, this many thousands on reading these articles of websites and news, you know, articles on your phone. Yet in your life of 50, 60 years I gave you, you never once attempted to read the book that I revealed for you. You never once. I mean, how are you going to feel about that? How will you answer that on the Day of Judgment? In fact, the Quran says, the Quran tells you, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. The Quran says, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say, did you not get enough time in your life to take heed from the warning that you got? Of course, you did have enough time. Now guys, what should we do? I'm asking you simple, and I want everyone to do this. Please, for your own good, do this. Buy this one book. You need to look. You need to get the translation of the Quran. I understand that. There are many translations out there. But you also need some tafsir. What's tafsir? Tafsir is an explanation of some of the verses. If you don't have that tafsir, you don't know the context of why Allah said what. And you won't be able to understand it properly. You need some light tafsir. There's a really good book I found that gives you just enough tafsir that you need. One book about this thick, and I'm not asking you to read it in one moment or a year. I'm asking you to read this over a few years. I'll tell you how to do it. Very easy. I'm just going to take 5 minutes of your time a day to do this. The book's name is Quran Made Easy. Right? Quran Made Easy. And the person who put his comments together is Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. Ilyas spelled with E-L-I-A-S. You will find the book through Amazon, on the internet. Islamic bookstores have it as well. It will cost you about £20. Some of you looked at me just then and said, £20, Sheikh. It's supposed to be mufata yara. It's supposed to be fi sabilillah or free yara. Everything, everyone wants everything free. Look, 20 quid. Let me just break it down for you. £20 is a pizza or two pizzas, right? When you order two pizzas or one pizza and a kebab roll and a few whatever, curry and a naan, whatever, all right? That pizza, kebab roll and naan is in the sewage tomorrow. It's turned color, it's turned this color, different color. It's not the same anymore, it doesn't look the same. You know, I don't want to go into too much detail, right? But it's been flushed, it's going through the sewage system, it's gone. When you spend £20 for a book, that book, inshallah, is going to change your life. It's going to give you something on the Day of Judgment which you will only be proud that you've done this. Just £20. Now, get the book. Once you get the book, what you do is you leave the book on your bedside. Before you go to sleep, just open the book to where it is. Read just one page of the translation of tafsir. It will take you 5 minutes. Close it, go to sleep. That's all. I don't want you to do more than that. Because what you will do is you will learn what Allah actually told us to do, what Allah told us not to do. You will fill your heart and your mind with stories of the Quran. You will fill it with what Allah told us in the Quran about our family lives, about our domestic lives, about our lives of commerce and trade. You will fill it with the political things that we have around us. You will fill it with spirituality and what Allah has told us to do, how to get close to Him. And you know what? Once you recite, once you read the translation and so on, you will see your lives change. You will see change. I've known people who can't put it down after 5-10 minutes. They want to read a little bit more. This is what we're supposed to do. Understand the Quran. Next thing you'll see is that the Quran will be in your lives. Now what you do is this. You now have recited the Quran. You recite with tajweed. You've got a book that tells you the meaning of the Quran, fine. Now you're trying to, you know, work towards implementing the Quran and bringing it in your life, good. Now here's what you do, the meadows of the Quran, subhanallah. You go through the Quran, you stop, you ponder. You know what? Every part of the Quran, somewhere or another, is telling you something. It's going to tell you how to get out of trouble. It's going to tell you, it's going to guide you. How? I'm telling you, just do this. I've used it throughout my life. It's amazing. You read an ayah and you say, wow, wow. Like, there's going to be a point in your life, you could become someone who's distressed. You've got sorrow, you've got grief. You come across the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. He lost one son, then he loses a second son. Then they tell him your son stole and the rest of them are still in Egypt and he cries. But what does he do? He says, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ I am putting all my sorrow and grief to Allah. Like, we've got to learn from the prophets of the Quran what to do in these moments. What do you do? How do you turn to Allah? Well, he gave the examples of the prophets. Yunus alayhi salam, belly of the whale. Alright? What does Allah say? وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ Allah says, remember this prophet in this book. And he carries on and tells us, إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ When he ran away and he went onto a ship that was already overloaded and they were sailing. And he left his people. He said, you know what? The punishment of Allah is going to reach his people. I'm going. But he left early before Allah gave him permission. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ And when the storm came and it was nighttime and the wind is severe and the sea is surging and the boat is about to capsize, they say, someone's done something wrong here. We better find out. They draw a lot and his name keeps coming up. And he himself jumped out in the sea. فَانْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ And then a large fish, a whale, comes and takes him inside. Now he's in the darkness of the whale, in the darkness of the sea, in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the storm. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ And now he cries out to me from within all of these darknesses. And he says, Oh Allah, you're the only one I have. You're the only God that is a real God. Subhanak, and you are the one who has made no mistake. Inni kuntu minal zalimin. I'm the one who made the mistake. I'm the one who made the mistake. And he kept on saying that until Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ And I, as Allah, I listened to his call. And I accepted his dua. And I gave him, and I removed from him his stress. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And just like I removed it for Yunus, I will remove it for all the believers. Allahu Akbar. You know what you do in that moment? You have to turn to Allah. The Quran says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ Run to Allah. The Quran says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Whoever leads a life of being conscious of Allah and trying to stay away from sins to the best of their abilities and trying to say, well, Allah is watching me. Whoever leads that life of fearing the Akhirah, fearing Allah, fearing Jahannam, and fearing the afterlife, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا You fear me? When you come to a dead end, I'm going to be there to find you a way which you can't even plan or comprehend. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ In a way, they don't even know how it happened. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ If you depend on Allah and your full reliance is on Allah, Allah says, I'm enough for you. And he gives story after story. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ And remember Ibrahim in this book. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صُدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا He was the utmost truthful person and a prophet. Now the question is, you stop there and you wonder, why did Allah say truthful, utmost truthful? Why did he say that? Because he's telling me and you, one of the qualities of finding Allah is always speak the truth. Speak the truth. Be a person of the truth. And what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam? He gave da'wah. Whenever he gave da'wah and called people, what happened? He became an enemy. All prophets became enemies when they spoke the truth. My friend, the Quran is telling you, you speak the truth, there are going to be certain people who are not going to like you. It's natural. And then what happens is you stick to the truth, they're not going to like it, they're going to be against you. Eventually, what did they do with Ibrahim alayhi salam? They said, you know what? Avenge our gods. Let's burn this man. They gathered together all the firewood they could. They stuck him to a pole. They tied him there. They put all the wood around him. He's on top there. They lit the biggest bonfire ever in the history of mankind to try and burn this one man. And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do according to the hadith of Bukhari? What did he say? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. It's also in the Quran in Surah Al Imran. He said, Allah suffices us and is the best that I can depend upon. And what did Allah say? Qul la yanaru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, you listen to me because I'm your God. I want you to become cool and something that is safe for my Ibrahim. And the fire came all around him. It burned the wood. It was all around him. But you know what? It was the best temperature he could ever be in. It was like just being in room temperature of the best kind. And the miracle was formed. Now you're going to say to me, well, I'm not a prophet. Yes, yes. Let me get to that, right? You're going to say, look, I'm not a prophet. These were prophets. How can I match what they did, and how can I become like them and, you know, get like a miracle? Let me tell you this. The Quran teaches us you do not have to be a prophet for Allah to help you. The people of the cave, the young boys in Surah Kahf that ran away from the king and they slept for 300 something years, were they prophets? No, they weren't. Allah rescued them. He found a way to rescue them. Now let me give you another story. Of a woman as well, because some of the women might say, well, all the men take everything away and the men are mentioned. Look, every time Allah mentions men, it's because in Arabic, the men, you know, when Allah mentions the men, he's not just stopping at men. The Quran is also amazing that the word whom, they in Arabic, includes men and women. The Quran, if it ever says mu'minun, believers, and it's got the plural of the men, it doesn't mean just mu'minun. It means the sisters as well. Please don't ever make the mistake that the Quran is only addressing men. No. Because the women in the Prophet ﷺ's time, they actually came to the Prophet ﷺ with this complaint. They said, look, the Quran mentions men. And you know what Allah did? Allah revealed one ayah to set the score right. And this ayah told us, that every ayah in the Quran, wherever Allah mentions, unless it's specific to men. If Allah makes it specific to men, it's specific to men. Otherwise, anytime He makes it general about believers, it's men and women. What did the Quran say? Innal muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat wal qanitina wal qanitat was sadiqina was sadiqat was sabirina was sabirat wal khashi'ina wal khashi'at. And again and again, one after the, you know, believing men, believing women, Muslim men, Muslim women, women that are forbearing for Allah, men that are forbearing for Allah, women that have the fear of Allah, men that are the fear of Allah. Allah revealed one ayah like that. You know why He did it? He gave us an example. You know what? If I wanted to, I could have made the whole Quran like that. But the Quran would have been even longer. For no point, when Allah can just use one and it covers both. So now let me give you the example of a woman. Okay? A woman who, she is not a prophet. She's not a prophetess. And she's in real danger. She's given birth to a child. And she knows that child is going to be murdered. Okay, his child is going to be murdered. She's fearing for that child, a newborn. And these, the mothers, you can only know what this mother is going through. Me and the men here will not be able to know what your level of fear is. And she was fearing that this is my child. She's got a 9-year-old daughter, but this is a son that she has. And Fir'aun has sent an order. Every boy that is born in this year is to be killed. Is to be killed. Just take him and kill him. Because Fir'aun saw this dream that one of the boys in the future from the Banu Israel is going to be born and he's going to grow up and then eventually he's going to destroy the kingdom of Fir'aun. Destroy the entire kingdom. He saw a dream. And that dream interpretation was exactly that. And he had to get rid of the boys. So they got rid of so many boys. And then they came up to this and said, listen, king, we can't kill every single boy because then we won't have any slaves left. Who's going to be the next generation of the strong slave men? We need to do something different. So they said, okay, this year, kill them. Next year, let them stay alive. This year, all the boys are dead. Murder them. Next year, keep them alive. Like that. And the year he sent an order for the baby boys to be murdered, that's the year Musa's mother, she gives birth to the child. And she's fearful. She doesn't know what to do. Guess what? Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ. Oh Moses, let me tell you your story. I inspired to your mother's heart. I gave her a strong feeling. She's not a prophet. I gave her a strong feeling that if this is the only plan that will work. I said, oh Moses' mother, I told her this. I put it in her heart. Breastfeed him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. When you have fear of, they're about to now knock on my door. Allah said, put him into the basket. And then take that basket. فَلْيُلْقِهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. She said, take that basket and throw it into the river. فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. And then eventually that basket will find its way to the riverside. لِيَأْخُذُهُ عَدُولِّهِ وَعَدُولَّهِ. And an enemy, who will pick it up? The enemy of that baby. يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُولِّهِ وَعَدُولَّهِ. My enemy and the baby's enemy is going to pick it up. Who's that? Fir'aun's taking a stroll. He's taking a stroll with his wife, the same woman I just mentioned, Asiya. They're walking on the riverside. Suddenly they see a basket by a tree that is just by the riverbank. And they look. And when they look at it, guess what? She says this. She says, oh, my husband, please, this is such a beautiful child. Look, we don't have children. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that this is not our baby. We could just claim that, you know, it's our baby. And Fir'aun thought, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. And Allah says, لِيَكُونَ عَدُوًا. So that Musa will become the actual, you know, grief for Fir'aun. He didn't know that, but he accepted it. Wow. And because of that, now the baby goes into the palace. But still, the mother of Moses doesn't get her baby. She fears, she doesn't know what to do, and she tells the 9-year-old daughter, she says, quickly, look, just go along the riverbank, just see where the basket is. She does that. Eventually she reports back, it's gone into the palace of Fir'aun. Now there's even more danger. But subhanAllah, look how Allah works. This baby now, you know, Asiya's got no milk to feed the baby. She can't feed it, she's not a mother, she hasn't given birth. There's no, you know, breast milk to give it to the baby. So they hire women. They say, okay, come on, feed the baby. One woman comes, another woman comes, and Musa alayhi salam, baby. Allah makes the baby cry like no other. Have you heard a baby cry when a baby is hungry? Have you heard it? You guys are laughing, you must have heard it. That was me when I was young. That was every single one of us. When you cried, you want, and guess what? They're giving him milk, but he's not taking it. No. Fir'aun's thinking, what kind of baby have I picked up? Or my wife picked up, rather. You know what I'm saying? The whole world's men couldn't make Fir'aun listen to anything, but one woman did the job. You get it, lads? Power of a woman. Now, the daughter's there, the sister of Musa. She comes inside. She sees one woman after another woman after another. And this baby's crying and crying and crying and crying and crying and taking no milk. And the sister comes up. She says, excuse me. It's all in the Quran. All in Surah Qasas. She says, can I tell you something? هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ يَكْفُلُهُ. Should I tell you about someone that could actually breastfeed this baby? And I know of a woman whose milk no baby refuses. They're so fed up, they said, go and bring that woman right now. She goes all the way back to her mother. She says, Mom, come on, your turn. The mother comes all the way into the palace of Fir'aun. This is her enemy's palace. The tyrant, she comes inside there. Soon as she gives milk to Musa, Musa takes it. And it's calm. And the whole palace is calm. And they look and say, okay, strange woman. But they don't know it's the mother of Musa. Wow. Now you sit there. How many lessons have we got there? Why would a baby not take milk? Why would this woman have such a strong feeling of just, my only plan in my head is, if I just get rid of it, you know what she was thinking? I'll just get rid of it, right? In a basket, in a river. At least there's a chance of survival. At least someone will find it. Someone will raise it. Maybe one day he'll grow up and I'll reunite with my child. Maybe that will happen. You're like, there's a strong feeling. She just did it out of impulse. But where did it come from? It came from Allah. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal says, forget you humans. I do this to the bee. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. Here's the queen bee in the beehive. She's never left the beehive. There are a swarm of bees around her. None of them know where to find the pollen. This is scientific study. Go on, research yourself. They don't know where to find the pollen. They're clueless. They look at her. All of a sudden, Allah says, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. I, as Allah, I inspire to the bee. Is the bee a prophet? Yes or no, guys? At least you know the answer to that one. Can I hear it again, please? No, louder, please. No, it's not a prophet. But Allah says, I inspire to the bee. And Allah tells it where to find the pollen. Suddenly the queen bee, she does a little kind of a dance. And the bees watch it. And it gives them a navigation system. The real, I'm not making this up. Gives them a navigation system without GPS. They go out of the beehive. They go. And they know exactly where to find the pollen. And they then bring it back to make honey. And Allah is teaching us, look, you can be who you want. If I want to rescue you, I will rescue you. The man who tried to kill Musa and the baby, I now am making that man raise the child that is going to destroy his kingdom. Allahu Akbar. That is the power of Allah. Things that will happen which are, you know, you think, why did this happen? Why am I in this place? Like you go to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Like any story, but let's just go to Yusuf alayhi salam. See, one of the things that spoils it is, don't bring the future of the stories yet in your mind, but study where you are. So where are you? You're at the well of when they dumped Yusuf alayhi salam in the well. His brothers dumped him in a well, left him for dead. And he was in there. And Allah says, I inspire to my Yusuf. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِهَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. One day you tell them about this. He had this feeling inside him. He wasn't a prophet yet. He had a strong feeling inside him. One day I'll grow up to tell my brothers about what they did. Anyway, if you're in that well, what's looking like your future? Your future is looking very grim. Don't go any further. Now, he goes from there to go to the minister's home. When he gets to the minister's home, he's now a slave. When he's in the minister's home, the woman tries to seduce him. What did he do wrong? What wrong did he do? Nothing. What was his crime? His crime was his beauty. What does the Quran teach you? Sometimes you can become the victim of your own success. You guys understand? Sometimes it's not your fault. If you still don't understand, let me tell you, sisters, how it works. You'll understand now. This wasn't your fault. You're a young woman. You're 25 years old, 26, 27 years old. Allah's blessed you with beauty. You're young. You just got married to your husband. You came into the family. When you just walked into the family, there was already your sister-in-law from before. She's been married to this family for 17 years. But she is plus size. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, she is plus size. You are perfect figure. You just walked in. You're the young bride. She's the old one. She gets jealous of you because you just walked in. Oh my days. All hell's gonna break loose right now. You're gonna be more beautiful than me and take all everyone's attention away from me. I'm gonna show you, sister. It's gonna be death. You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens. What's your fault? Nothing. Yusuf alayhi salam just walked in the palace And now he's got this woman trying to seduce him for his beauty. And he's got other women that are jealous that, listen, ooh, we'd all like a piece of him. And what does he do? He says, oh Allah, send me to the prison. I'd rather, they say, if you don't do what we're trying to tell you, the woman says, I'm going to send you to prison. He says, yeah, he says, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. My Lord, I'd rather be in prison than to be in this palace. Allah makes a way for him to get into prison. Now, an innocent man in prison for no crime, you know, a victim of his own success, of his own beauty, he's in prison. What does he do in prison? He gives da'wah. He be good in prison. Because of the goodness he had in prison. Look, his akhlaq never changed in the prison. His character never changed. He's always been a good person. He's always tried to help people. He helped two people with two dreams. That's all he did. One of those, you know what? One day, he's next to the king. The king has a dream. The king doesn't know what to do with the dream. Suddenly, the same prisoner who was with him in prison a few years ago comes running to him and says, please, please come. Tell the king what his dream means. Now, he goes out of the prison. Allah makes Yusuf alayhi salam the right-hand man of the king. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he just helped another man when he was in prison, innocent. What is the Quran teaching me and you? Don't let go of your goodness, no matter how low people throw you in life. For the innocence that you've got, Allah is with you. You say, what do I do? Allah says what? Allah says in the Quran again and again. You want Allah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those people who are patient. Are you going to be patient in the problems that you've got, or are you going to complain? Because Allah doesn't like people who just want to moan and complain. He likes those who, okay, if you want to sort your problem out, you can tell people about your problem, no problem. But don't just kind of moaning and moaning and moaning and telling everyone, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Allah doesn't like that. Just have your patience. If you have your patience, Allah says, I am with you. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Now, story after story, meadow after meadow, you go through the Quran and you see so many reflections. Let me give you another story. Aisha radiallahu anha. This story you'll find it in Surah Surah Nur, right? Surah number 24. And in that, there's about 10 ayats that were revealed for Aisha radiallahu anha. An episode broke. What happened is that there was a whole allegation about her in Medina. She didn't do anything wrong. But the wild, you know, rumor was so much, it engulfed the Sahaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even asking Aisha radiallahu anha, he was asking, have you done anything wrong? Do you want to say anything else to me? She became ill by it. Read the story from the tafsir in the Quran. What was her crime? Nothing. It was a rumor that almost broke her. Then Allah exonerated her from the heavens. From the heavens, Allah exonerated her till Qiyamah, till the Day of Judgment. We're going to read this. What does it teach me and you? You know what it teaches me and you? Even if you think the whole world is against you and you know you never did the wrong thing, just wait. Either Allah will show you that you're innocent in this world, or even better, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will clear you in front of the whole of mankind. And you go from story after story. Look, you come to a certain story. Allahu Akbar. You come to a story of what? There's two sons of Adam. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Tell them, relate to them the story of the two sons of Adam. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا. When both of them gave, they gave a sadaqah and they gave a charity for Allah's sake. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. One of them, the sadaqah was accepted. Allah said, okay, I'll accept your charity. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. But the other one, his sadaqah wasn't accepted. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Now Qabil, the brother whose sadaqah wasn't accepted, he said to his brother Habil, he said, you know what? I'm just going to murder you. I'm going to kill you. Now, the story encapsulates the moment when Habil, his brother, turned around to him and says, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. If you draw your hand towards me with a knife to try and kill me, I'm not going to draw my hand towards you to kill you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have fear of Allah, the Lord of all creation, the Lord of the worlds. You know what this teaches us? Jealousy. Jealousy is something that can create between brothers. It can even make them kill one another. But what did he do? The brother whose sadaqah was accepted, he's the victim here. He says, you know what? I'm not going to pick up a knife to try and kill you. My young guys, my brothers, okay, young blood that is here, okay, young blood, because there's something that's happened, I don't know, in the last 10, 15 years. This whole thing about knife crime that is going up and up, you know, in London, now in Birmingham, in Bristol, in other places, I don't know. It's just spreading. Why? Because young boys think that if I carry a knife for my defense, it's the best thing I can do out there on the streets. Well, you're wrong. Because look, let me play it through. You need to understand this. You have a knife on yourself. A guy pulls out a knife. For defense, you pull out a knife. His intention is to harm you. Your intention is not to harm him, but you've got a knife in your hand. He draws towards you. You try and wave it in your defense. Now, in a split second, somewhere when a struggle happens, suddenly it wasn't your intention. The knife that you had in your hand suddenly goes in his body. He drops to the ground. Blood is pouring out. You've just done something really horrible. You don't know what to do. In panic, you run. Well, the guy's dead on the floor. Paramedics come. They can't rescue him. You're done. Now you've got murder on your hands. Did you intend to murder? No. What was your crime? Carrying the knife. That was your crime. If you never had the knife in the first place, you can't kill the other person. That's exactly what Habil said to Qabil. I'm not going to pick up a knife to kill you. I just warn you, he said. Inni uridu an tabu abi ithmi wa ithmik. He said, listen, if I've done something wrong, just tell me what I've done wrong. But also tell me what you're doing wrong. He tried to reason with him. In the end, Qabil killed him. It's the first murder that happened on the earth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, Qabil being the first murderer will have a flag sticking out from his rear end upwards high. This flag sticks out and all the murderers will be behind him on the day of judgment. La ilaha illallah. Now, your crime is what? To have that knife on you is the crime. Understand that. The Quran is teaching you, look, if someone's coming for you to kill, okay, out of self-defense, you can do whatever you want. But don't try and slip into a position where you're going to become a criminal tomorrow where you had no intention. Every other place in the Quran you go, you find story after story. Let me give you another one that relates to our time right now. Because look, we all know what's going on in the Middle East. We all know what's going on in Palestine. We know what's going on. And I'm telling you, you read the Quran in certain passages and wow, you just look at it and say, wow, this is amazing. I want you to go home. If you want to know what's going to happen, what's going on, I want you to read certain passages of the Quran. I'm going to tell you to read. Get that book I told you, Quran Made Easy, and you know, with Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. Go and start reading the passages that I tell you to read. In fact, I'm going to tell you nothing. You know the stories of the prophets in the Quran? The reason why Allah revealed them was, Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The reason why I'm relating to you, O reader, all these stories from the prophets is to console your heart, to affirm your heart. When you're in trouble, you're going to find something that relates to the stories of these prophets and many other things in the Quran. I want you to go to YouTube, and on YouTube, if you type in analyzing the lives of the prophets, put my name there and put analyzing the lives of the prophets, there are 74 hour videos, okay, 74 videos, 1 hour each, I put free on the internet for you, right? Goes from Adam alayhi salam all the way to Isa alayhi salam. It's free. But the problem with free is when you give it out for free, no one appreciates it. And when you charge for it, people say, Dekho ji, paise bana rahe. Look, the guy's making money. Soon as you charge for something, people say, he's making money. You give it out for free, no one values it. That's a problem. Go and watch those videos and every single story I relate there on those videos, I'll tell you how it relates to our lives and the current situations, whether it's yourselves personal or a domestic or political life, I will talk through that. Now, come back to what I was going to say to you. I want you to read the passages to understand what's going on in the Quran. Open Surah Hashr, Surah number 59. Open the beginning passage where Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ. Allah is the one who took them out. Allah is the one who, what did he do? Allah says, these guys, These are now Allah's talking about some of them who were living in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time in Medina. They made a fortress around them. And Allah says they never thought that they would ever be exiled from their fortresses. These fortresses were made very well built. They had stock inside there for food and for other things they needed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he besieged them because they had broken the treaty that they made with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah tells us how he took them out. Now that's one. Second one, I want you to read. Surah Isra, Surah number 17, or Surah Banu Israel, Surah number 17. The first two pages, just read that and you will go through the journey of Masjid al-Aqsa. You will go through the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making his mi'raj and going to Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah took him from Makkah to Jerusalem, then Jerusalem to the heavens, from the heavens back to Jerusalem, Jerusalem back to Makkah in one night. Now, right after that, Allah talks about the people of Palestine and he says, in the Torah beforehand, Allah says, I revealed already, and you can find passages of that today even. Simply, I'm going to say this in a nutshell. I want to tell you this. If any person, Palestine, when they're in control of it, if they make it, this is in the Torah, this is also something alluded in the Quran as well. If you make it something specific for yourself, right, that it's exclusive for yourself, you don't want to share it. Any time in history, go and study history. Any time in history, anyone's made this place exclusive for themselves, Allah's taken them out. And Allah said that in Torah. Allah said that in the Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal, what did he do? And Allah said in the Quran, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ You people, the Banu Israel. I told you in your Torah beforehand, you're going to cause corruption on the earth, a great amount of corruption. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا And you will get to certain heights of it. And Allah talks about the first time he will deal with it. Allah talks about the second time he's going to deal with it. And Allah says, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ If you are good, no problem. You share this place. Now there are certain things Allah said, how to deal with the place of Palestine. If you share it, good. It's good for yourself. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا But if you do the same thing you did in the past, the same thing will happen again. In fact, the Quran, in the hadith of Tirmidhi, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, the Quran has got what? فِيهِ نَبَأٌ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ The Quran gives you stories of what happened in the past. وَخَبَرٌ مَنْ كَانَ بَعْدَكُمْ But by studying those stories of the past, you now get what's going to happen in the future. The future prediction you can make by studying the Quran. What does that mean? Anytime Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us these stories, there are similarities that history will repeat itself. What I'm trying to say by that is, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us these stories in the Quran and told us, look, there's a future that is coming. And what is that future? The future is this. You look at the time the Crusades came. The Crusades, right? These are hundreds of years back. They came, they took over Palestine. They made it exclusive for themselves. They kicked out everyone else out. Allah Azza wa Jal took them out. Muslims are the only nation who shared this place with all other religions. Look in the history. Muslims shared it with Jewish people. Muslims shared it with Christians. Muslims bought the Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah. He brought the Jews back into Jerusalem so that they can worship their God. He shared it. He kept Christian churches in Jerusalem after he conquered Jerusalem. If you look at Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he wouldn't even pray in a church because he didn't want the Muslims to make that a masjid. He had respect for that because he knew from the revelation that you're supposed to share this place. Now you work out the future. If anyone's going to try and make it exclusive for themselves, Allah's going to deal with them according to what he revealed in the Torah, according to what he revealed in the Quran. And my friends, come to the Quran, read the stories of the Quran, go through the examples of the Quran. And then not only that, when you come, look, the Quran is a mirror. How is the Quran a mirror? When the Quran, you open it and the Quran says something about believers, ask yourself, have I got these qualities in me? Have these believers, they do this, they do that. Allah says, you know, whether it's their prayers or whatever it is, have I got this inside me? Am I this kind of believer? Then suddenly the Quran brings you a verse about a munafiq, a hypocrite. Ask yourself a question. Am I this munafiq? Am I this hypocrite? Have I got these qualities inside me? These hypocrites, they are saying one thing here, saying another thing there. Am I that person? That's what the Quran wants me and you to reflect on. That's what he wants to do. Now, let me, you know, as you go through the Quran, you will see stories of this person, that person, about the Christians, about the Jewish people, about Fir'aun, about Musa. And each time stop there and say, what is Allah teaching me here? Your lives will change through that. One final thing I want to tell you is this. The Quran, it will change you and you will develop your love for the Quran by making the art of recitation of the Quran something that you want to achieve. All right? People out there, they do a lot of things. People out there, they start, you know, even if they can't get to the highest levels, they try to sing, they try to go through music, they try to go other things, they try to get a life in this hobby, that hobby, and so on. Allah Azza wa Jal, in this religion, has given us a beautiful way of us having a hobby of reciting the Quran. What you do is learn the Quran, how to read it with tajweed, and read it audibly to yourselves. You will engage your tongue with the Quran, you will engage your ears with the Quran. The Quran will then go from your mouth into your ear, you'll hear it, it will then penetrate into your heart. There's a whole process of this. The Quran says, "Ghulf," because of the sins of people, Allah has clogged up certain ears from the truth, clogged up certain hearts from receiving the truth. The only way you can unclog all of this is to actually read the Quran and do dhikr of Allah and remember Allah. Now read it loudly to yourself. Let that process take place. The Quran is barakah. The Quran, it gives you blessings. Hadith of Sahih Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jal, His messengers tells us, read Surah Baqarah. He says, fa inna fiha, or in a barakah, something around to the extent that, because Surah Baqarah will give you blessings. Wa tarkaha hasra. He says, if you leave Surah Baqarah, it will be a regret. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةِ. And those who do black magic and those who cast spells, they cannot challenge or they can't take Surah Baqarah. What does that mean? The Quran is a protection for me and you from all of this. I know in our Asian sort of families, anything goes wrong, they say, maybe there's black magic, maybe there's a jinn, or maybe someone giving him evil eye. Ya to jadu hai, ya jinn hai, ya nazar lag gayi. One of the three things. You have any of that, my friend? Quran is the thing that is against all, you know, it will protect you from all of that. Recite Falaq, Surah Falaq, three times. Surah Nas, three times. Recite Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, three times first. Then Surah Falaq, three times. Then Surah Nas, three times. Blow in your hands, pass it over your body. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. Before you go to bed, you will save yourself from nightmares. Recite Ayatul Kursi. It's a protection from you. An angel will be appointed for you throughout the night as you sleep. Allahu Akbar. There are blessings in the Quran that you will never ever imagine of what's going on unless we were able to see it. In fact, when you read the Quran, do you know that the angels are coming to your side? Let me give you a hadith of Bukhari. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu. Hadith of Bukhari, Sahih hadith. He's in his barn, in his horse barn. Early in the morning, it's dark. He's probably got a lantern or something, right? And from that, he's reading his Quran. And as he reads his Quran, his horses become unsettled. And they, you know, move their forelegs up and down. They're very unsettled and he stops reading. Then they become settled. Then he starts reading again. And they become unsettled. Then he stops again. Then when he starts again, he sees this canopy of lights. This canopy of lights come from above into his barn. He sees these lights that are in his barn. He gets freaked out. He stops reciting the Quran. And he says, okay, that's enough, right? And he goes for Fajr. He comes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he tells him what happened. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, oh, Usayd, these were angels that came to listen to the recitation of your Quran. Allahu Akbar. And had you continued, the people of Medina would have seen how angels actually look. How they actually look. They would have seen that. You know, the Quran says, "Inna Qur'an al-Fajr kana mashhuda." If you recite the Quran in Fajr, you have angels that are all around you witnessing. They come to listen to you. Allahu Akbar. You think about it. Angels are sent for you, for them to listen to you reciting the Quran. Now you might say, well, I don't have a good voice. Allah's not there to mark you according to your voice. In fact, voice is a bonus if you have it. The main thing is tajweed. The main thing is pronouncing the letters correctly. As long as you do that, you're making Allah happy. A lot of people don't understand the difference between this. You know, sometimes you get these qaris, and everyone's going, Allah. And the guy's tajweed's basically down. You know, get me? Somebody could come with a broken voice. Sometimes I hear these imams with a broken voice and they're reciting, but the tajweed is spot on. Those who know the Quran know that to mark someone against their recitation of the Quran is not to do with your voice, your beautiful tune. It's not to do with that. Although, alhamdulillah, it's blessed to have a beautiful tune. It's marked against the correctness of your pronunciation of the Quran. So learn that. Learn how to recite and then sit down. Recite it loudly. Recite it slowly. And the Quran tells you what happens when you do that. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَى مُقِيلًا. There's a beautiful thing that our Prophet ﷺ used to look forward to. Now get a hold of this, right? Our Prophet ﷺ had a few ways, different ways of reciting the Quran. Sometimes he's reciting the Quran quietly. If you look at him, his lips are moving. If you go, some Sahaba did this. They went right up to him to listen to what he's saying. Then they heard him reciting a certain surah. So you can recite Quran quietly, fine. Our Prophet ﷺ had another way of reciting the Quran, which was to recite it audibly to himself, okay, outside of salah. Our Prophet ﷺ had another way of reciting the Quran, which was to recite it inside salah, like the five daily prayers, fine. But our Prophet ﷺ had the best one he used to look forward to every single 24 hours was his Quran recitation in the depth of the night. This was the ultimate one, and we should try and get there, which is what? You try and memorize a portion of the Quran just so that you can stand in front of Allah in the night, recite it to Him audibly, all right? A little bit loudly so you can hear it, and enjoy the recitation by doing it steadily in tahajjud, in qiyamul layl. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, O one who's wrapped up, Qumil layla illa qaleela, come get up in the night. Maybe a little bit less time, but get up in the night. How much? نِصْفَهُ أَوْ يَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. Maybe half the night, maybe a little bit less, a time when you're tired. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And sometimes, more than half the night, get up for myself, stand there in front of me, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And just recite my Qur'an, my words back to me in salah in the depths of the night. Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ would recite. They said they could count the letters he was reciting. That's how slowly he used to recite Allahu Akbar. Not like reciting. You know, we had this Sheikh, Umar Furi Sheikh from Bangladesh, Rahimullah, may Allah bless him. He said a joke, but he gives some seriousness in the joke. He said, you know what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? The angels who used to sit on our sides here to write, they will present a case on the Day of Judgment against the Huffaz. Some Huffaz who memorized the Quran, who used to lead the Tarawis, those angels will put a case against them. People said, what do you mean, Sheikh? He said, those angels will say, we sat here to write down what this Hafiz is reciting fast in his in Tarawih Salah. He read so fast, we couldn't even capture it. It was so fast, we didn't know what to write down. You know, it's a joke, but the seriousness to it is, why are you reciting the Quran just like some kind of Ferrari, F1, you know, you're in a race to get to the end. What is this? Allah has said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتُلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those who I gave the book to, I gave them the Quran to, they recite the Quran as it ought to be recited, which is slow, steady, with tajweed. And if you want to go a little bit fast, that's fine, but not too fast. Okay? And what you do is you use the Quran. Allah says, when the Prophet ﷺ stood up in his salah in the night, what did Allah say? Allah said, right there in Surah Muzzammil, he said, إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا.
When you stand like that and you recite for Allah's sake and you just basically got up against your will, against your nafs, against your ego, you got up in the night, you stood up in front of Allah, you recited to Him the Quran in tahajjud. You know what? In tahajjud. You know what Allah says? Allah says, this will be the biggest way you will stomp your ego, suppress your desires, get rid of those temptations. This will help you to do that. Allahu Akbar. Your lives, my life, will change through this. Now I'm going to quickly give you a summary of the most important parts of this talk. We want to find a Quran as soon as I die, as soon as you die, on the day of judgment, when we get up, a young, beautiful man that tells me this has been my approach to the Quran. My recitation, my practice of the Quran, my understanding of the Quran, everything I did towards the Quran, we want him to first meet us. Then when I stand in front of Allah, we want him to represent us. Then we want him to take us to Jannah. Then we want the Quran to become the major source of our good deeds on the Day of Judgment. In this world, we want the Quran to be our protection. We want it for it to give us barakah. In fact, I'm just going to tell you, the way we see the stars in the sky, do you know that the angels look down on this earth and the houses the Quran are recited in are lit up for them? Allahu Akbar. They see those houses lit up if you recite the Quran in your house. So there's barakah, there's blessings. We want to then get that book, Quran Made Easy. We want to understand what the Quran is saying. I'm not asking you to learn the Arabic language. I'm asking you to understand just in English, plain English, what is the Quran telling me? Then I want to stop at the meadows of the Quran. I want to reflect on the Quran. I want the Quran to show me what's going on inside me. I want to build this relationship with the Quran. And then what happens is I want to recite the Quran, enjoy the Quran, engage with the meaning of the Quran, change my life through the Quran. And eventually, one day, inshallah, we become a better person in this world. And in the Akhirah, we look forward to meeting our Quran, hugging our Quran, and that Quran will become our companion in the next world. Jazakumullah khair for listening. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.